Welcome to At This Table, where we gather for real, honest, and encouraging conversations with Redemption Press authors and friends. I'm your host, Shelley Brown, and today we're pulling up a chair with Sandra Nieto, author of Special Kids, Chosen Moms, A Mother's Guide to Raising Her Special Needs Child. Sandra knows firsthand the beautiful and often exhausting journey of raising a child with profound special needs. Through years of caring for her blind, medically fragile son, she's gathered hard-earned wisdom, practical tips, and deep spiritual encouragement to share with other moms walking a similar path. So whether you're a mom raising a child with special needs or someone who loves and supports a family walking that road, this conversation is for you. We hope it offers you understanding, encouragement, and a reminder that God's plan is still good, even when the journey feels anything but easy. So Sandra, welcome to the table. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I want to start off our time and ask you a question that I ask all of our guests at the beginning of our time. And that is this, keeping in line with our title of our podcast, At This Table. If you could invite anyone from the Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament, to join us at this table today for a conversation, who would you invite and why?
Ooh. Well, there's several people. I'd want to throttle Eve, you know, so I'd bring her. So I don't know that she would be a good person.
She probably would not. Not at this table.
No. I probably would say the nameless Proverbs 31 woman. I would want to know, honey, did you sleep? Did you get to do anything on your own? You were either sewing, you were planting fields. Yeah. So I think I would ask her, I know she would have never had social media. That's for sure. I can only imagine her hashtags. Bought second field this morning. List. But I think I would just want to talk to her about her time that she had with the Lord, because she obviously spent time with the Lord. And that's something that I talk about in my book, is how important that is. For me, it's waking up and going to the Lord. And my whole, for the last 3 or 4 years, has been word before world. So in other words, before you check your phone, before you look at your email, before you do anything, get into the Word. Say good morning to the Lord. You know, just tell him what's going on today, what you've got coming up, and how can he help you with it? And that is what kept me able to survive for so many years with my son. So, and now, and even more so now. So it just carries on. So,
Well, two things. I love that you chose the nameless Proverbs 31 woman. You're the first person to have selected that one, yes. So I love that. And I love your reasoning behind it. And I love what you just said, that you've practiced word before world. What a powerful statement. And that just shows the intimacy and the relationship that you have with the Lord, and that he truly is your best friend.
I have to tell you, so when I was younger, I mean, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, I have no idea. But my mom said I used to walk around the house like this with my arm around someone. And she would always say, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm walking with Jesus. And she would have to fix Jesus a sandwich because he liked sandwiches and he liked Cheetos. So I was very specific. And no one could sit next to me because they'd be sitting on him. You know, so he's always been my bestie, and I never want to make that too casual, because he is our Lord and Savior, and you know, has redeemed us. But at the time, that he was just my friend, and like to carry that on.
Yeah. Well, and he calls us, he says, no, I'm no longer a master. I'm your friend. Right. You know, Sandy, we love hearing the why behind the words from our authors and why they wrote their book. Mm-hmm. And so can you take us back to when you first realized that you wanted to write Special Kids, Chosen Moms? Like, what was going on in your life at that moment that you said, okay, I need to write this book?
Well, it's funny. It took me almost 10 years to decide that, because I was just so emotional about, you know, his passing and everything that I had done. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I need to help other moms. Now, at the time when he was around, there were no cell phones. There was no internet. There was none of that. So, you know, I mean, maybe you could find an Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, and look something up, but it was so, you know, beyond me. But I never had that help. The only help that I had were, he was always in the hospital. So I would have friendships with the nurses, and they would tell me different things. You know, you can do this, you can do that. Mm-hmm. My ex-mother-in-law was the most incredible person at organizing. Mm-hmm. And so she was very, because she used to sew a lot, and she was always had everything had its certain place. And so she kind of helped me with organization. And, you know, I had to put a wind-up alarm clock in the middle of the house for Clay's next medication, because he took 32 meds a day. So I was constantly having to give him medicine, but time gets away from you. And I had a 2.5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so when that would go off, I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, now, you know, you just set it on your phone. Everything's in your phone.
Right.
And,
right.
But at the time when I started writing this, I just felt like I needed to help other moms when it came not only to school and insurance, but organizing your house, organizing your own bedroom, not just to mention your child's bedroom, bathroom. I have recipes in there, you know, I just want to help the mom, you know, because I know how tough it is, you know, so that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, I love that. So your son's name is Clay.
Yes.
Can you tell us just a little bit about Clay?
Clay was tried to be born at 23 weeks. And what I did not know at the time is that they can sew up your cervix. I was like, okay. So they did that. And they said, we can do that, but you have to stay in bed for the next 4 months or however long it was. And I was like, okay. So you can only get up to go to the restroom or shower. That was hard with a 2.5-year-old, you know. So I did. I moved in with the in-laws because we lived in Dallas at the time, and my parents were in Houston, and moved in with them. And she took care of me and brought me my meals to the bedroom. And, you know, it was tough. It was really tough, but it was okay. I never could feel my own contractions, so I had to wear this belt that hooked up to this, like they're a receiver, you know, the sound from the old AOL internet. Okay.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
That was the sound. And it would make that sound. And then they would call me and say, oh, you were having a really big contraction. I'm like, huh. Okay. So when my water finally broke, they took me to the hospital. They snipped the stitch, and they believe that that is where he contracted the group B strep, because I was fine. And when Clay was actually born, he was fine, but they kept you in the hospital for 3 days. So on that third day, when they're about to let me go home, I'm looking at my mom going, he looks funny. And she goes, what do you mean? I mean, he was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. He was beautiful. And looked like nothing was wrong at all. But at the time, it was like a little Pac-Man. It was eating his blood and brain. And when I said he looks different, we were pasty white. And he was kind of mottled, kind of darker, complected. And it just didn't, I don't know, just something didn't seem right. So by the time we got home and I was burping him. He was sitting in my lap and I was burping him really, you know, softly. He had his first seizure. And I'd never been around anyone with a seizure, but I knew that's what it was. His arms went out, his eyes rolled back. And so from that point on, we're back at the hospital and now he's in for several months. He was in on a ventilator and every day was, we're hoping his kidneys can do this. And well, we're hoping this. So, you know, and then once we came home, he'd be home for like 2 days and then, oh, we're back in the hospital. And then we'd be home for like a week and then, oh, we're back in the hospital with RSV pneumonia. You know, so it was always something, but God was with us the whole time. So he kept us strong and went from there. So.
Yeah. And he lived to be how old?
15 and a half. They said he would only be three. They could not guarantee anything past 3 years old. What came from all that is they, when he went back in at 3 months old, they actually gave him the wrong medication and it made another seizure. And that seizure lasted a very long time and it took his vision and his ability to eat. And I mean, here's this little boy with these big blue eyes and it just kind of looked like he was looking around, but I was going, he can't see. And he didn't know how to swallow. So now we're looking at cerebral palsy, blind, not being able to eat. We're having to feed him through the nose, through the tube, and then finally got a tube in his stomach. So he had a lot of things going on, but you know what? I think we all have a lot of things going on, but his were physical. So, but he was such a joy. I mean, he didn't, I don't know what he understood, but I taught him to say mama. I put my lips on his and go, mama. Oh. And so then he'd go, mama. And, and then I would just come unglued, you know. No. But he basically, you couldn't say, hey, Clay, let's do this, you know, or, you know, but he was a joy. He was happy. Mm. He laughed a lot. You know, of course, he was drugged. So, he was a real blessing to the whole family. So,
yeah, I read something that you wrote about your son, and I absolutely loved it. So I wrote it down because I wanted to read it, and I want to ask you something about this. I never ever felt him as a burden. I knew God chose me out of all the moms in the world to have this special child. That I'm in awe over that. That is precious.
You know, that came up because my sister, I think it was my sister that said, well, she was kind of angry. She's like, why did this happen to you? Why did that? And I'm like, I've been chosen. There's this huge group of moms out there. And he went, she can handle it. And so, I mean, what an honor. I mean, for me to say, okay, you know, and I try to look at things that happen now, you know, anything that goes on is okay. We can do this. You know, if I can do that, we can do this, you know? Right. So it's just, I did, it was an honor and I felt chosen. And that's as a mindset, that is turning your negativity, I mean, into something, you know, positive. And not a lot of people can do that, but it is a choice. And I made that choice to just say, okay, Lord, it's you and me.
Yeah.
Let's do this. So,
yeah. Well, I was going to ask, and it kind of goes along with what you just said, but perhaps you can elaborate. So Sandy, for the mom who's listening right now, who is feeling completely overwhelmed, and maybe she's one of the moms that's questioning, why is this my story? And wondering if she's even equipped for it. How would you encourage her to see God's purpose in the middle of all that exhaustion and doubt?
Well, it starts word before world. It starts in the word. You've got to get into scripture. And I'm not saying I was perfect at all, you know, because there are times that you are worried, you know, you're worried sick, but the verse, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. And so if you look at it from that standpoint, just through that scripture, and I'm sitting here worried, what if he dies tomorrow? You know, what if, well, is that true? No. So then you have to go, okay, erase that. Right. You know, it's just, It's so important to be into the word. And, you know, I talk about in the book about when you're in the word and Christ is in you, you're going to approach things differently. So next time you go in his room, it changes your tone. Mm-hmm. It changes your expression on your face. I mean, maybe your child can see. Don't walk in there because you've had to get up. I used to have to get up about five times a night. And that was my own choice because I would turn him because I didn't want him to get any kind of bed sores. And he couldn't do that on his own. So I'm a wiggle worm. Mm. And so I would lay there going, oh my gosh, he's got to be uncomfortable. So I'd go in and I'd turn him over and stuff. And then I'd have to give him his meds and stuff. But you have to remember, he didn't ask for this. So we have to be encouraging and kind, and our expression has to show that. And it will go on to the family too. The family will see, other people will see and understand what's going on, because it's only God. It's only God. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking, I thinking it is a mindset. There's no doubt. And being in the word, everything you said, 100% agree. But I also see that God has entrusted you with this journey, and every mom out there that has a special needs child, whatever our journeys are that are unexpected and excruciating and painful, and the suffering that comes with those things, you know, I believe with all of my heart that if it didn't have purpose in our lives, that he would not allow it to touch us. Mm-hmm. He is not that kind of God that would just say, no, I'm going to inflict this pain on you. Just inflict this pain. But it's our choice as to whether it draws us closer to him and grows us deeper in intimacy to him, or if we raise our fists in anger and bitterness to the Lord. Not that we don't have those moments, right? But ultimately, we end up, you know, are we going to surrender and yield our hearts and our minds to him? And just as you've so eloquently expressed, that are we going to just accept this as he's entrusted me with this precious one. And it is not easy, but wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at David in the Psalms. I mean, he would just like, where are you, Lord? Why did you abandon me? And then in the same Psalm, he'll say, I love you. That's paraphrased.
I love that.
It's just, I'm no different, you know, than anybody else. I just choose to live in light of the Lord, you know.
Yeah. And I'm also hearing, the more you know God, the more you can trust him.
Right.
You can't trust him if you don't know him, if you're not in the word. And the more, actually, it's the more you know him, the more you love him, the more you love him, the more you trust him. Mm-hmm. And that's a journey of getting to know him deeper and more intimately. And that is done through his word and in communion and prayer with him and that relationship. And so for those who are struggling with that trust, you know, they have so many questions. What encouragement would you give to them? Reed, she's holding up, for those who are listening to the audio, she's holding up her book. Yes, well, and I would concur.
Yeah, get a copy of your book. In the back, I do put down, there are several scriptures that I have gone over that have just meant a lot to me. Yeah. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me doing it. It's God giving me the strength to get up five times a night, to go in, and he's just soiled the bed and redoing it again. You know, you have to be in the word, or it will consume you, and it will, you know, so many people are watching. So many people are trying to see how you handle things. It could be in the doctor's office. You know, they'll see me push Clay in a wheelchair into the office, and they're watching me. And if I'm at ease with my own son and just, you know, talking to him, and, you know, and he always looked perfect. I had to, that was a big thing with me. He had to look so stinking cute, because he was stinking cute. Oh. And, but they would watch how we, or if we went to a restaurant and we took Clay, we'd roll him right up to the table, even though he couldn't eat or anything, but they would watch the way my kids would react to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd see someone at another table just start crying. And I'm like, don't do that. I'm a weak woman. You know, do not start the tears, you know? So, but you're being watched, and that is a testimony right there. And so if I'm being watched, I want people to see Jesus and to be a light. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned a little bit ago that you have recipes in the book, and but you also have tips for keeping your marriage strong.
Absolutely. Men and women are very different. And I'm not saying I'm a psychologist, a therapist, whatever, but we look at things differently. Women, you know, men need to fix it. They need to go make more money so they can, you know, put it towards that, where women are like, oh, so sweet, you know, and we do all that stuff. So as long as you know your role and that he is helping, you won't be sidetracked with the, he never does anything, you know. No, that's why with the recipes, a lot of them are crock pot recipes. In the morning, throw everything in there, turn it on. And now when he does come home, the last thing he wants is for you to meet him at the door with the child and say, okay, they're yours. I'm going to go out and do this. And I never did that, you know? And I know that there are people that do that. Maybe that works for them, but I know he's tired and I know he's stressed and he keeps it all inside. You know, he's not going to just, you know, that, at least that's the way it was in my home. And so I made sure that, you know, things were done, and I had help. He worked very, very, very hard, and I had help. I had a lady come in, and she helped me with the house. And this was not my current husband's son. I had two children, and then because of all this, we got a divorce. We were on different pages. Let's just put it like that. Mm-hmm. And we got a divorce, and I met my current husband, and we dated about 2.5 years, and he had three children. I had two. We've been now married 32 years, and I believe this year 31 or 32. maybe it just feels like 32. No, we've been, and he is such a provider, and he's always been there. And we were able to have a lady come in and help me, you know, occasionally with the house and cleaning. And she watched me with Clay. And then it got to where she started doing some things. Now, I'm not a nurse, nor is she. Mm-hmm. We're not trained to do these things. It's on the job training, you know? And so she was able to help me out and to do a lot of the things. And, you know, Clay had a G-tube. She knew how to give him his meds through the G-tube. Mm-hmm. And that was a blessing. So I never took that for granted that, oh, he's not doing anything. Oh, yes, he is. He's, you know, he was able to get that person to come and help me. And that way Clay could stay in my home. Clay could be with me and not somewhere else, you know.
That's great. What a gift that was.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, I want to shift gears for just a second. And I want to talk to you and give you an opportunity to share a little bit about your publishing journey with Redemption Press. And, you know, sometimes, well, first of all, writing a book is, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It is hard work.
It is.
And then getting that book out into the world and getting the message, and especially when God has called you to write that book, it is a labor of love for sure, right? And so what was your process like with Redemption Press? Was there anything that surprised you along the way?
I can't even remember how they found me. I think they found me. I don't know if I found them or they found me, but whatever it was, they made it very easy. From the beginning of submit your manuscript, I'm like, I don't know computers, you know, and they helped me with everything. They were, They were my teenager to me on the computer. You know, they knew how to do all of it. And then that's from great. The manuscript, then they got an editor for me, and she went through and said, we should say do not instead of don't, you know, so she cleaned it up a lot. Mm-hmm. And then just from there, they're so good about emailing you and telling you the process, where they are at the moment and what the next step will be, and had it just they made it very, very easy. I highly recommend them. Highly.
Wow, that's so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. So as we wrap up our time, I'm going to close with this question for you. Your book is filled with as I think I said in the introduction, so much hard-earned wisdom and practical help. But if you could sit across from a mom who's just starting this journey, or perhaps they're smack dab in the middle of it, but they're, as we were talking about earlier, they're exhausted, and they're feeling unsure, they're scared, they're worn thin. What's the one piece of advice from your book that you'd want her to hold on to first?
Well, my obvious answer is the scripture, you know, getting in there, getting starting before, you know, 30 minutes before, if it's just 30 minutes before everybody gets up, if you can. Maybe for some people it's late at night once everybody's gone to sleep. Right. I'm just a morning person, and I've been that way. But probably what I would do if she was sitting across from me and we were having coffee, I'd say, let's go to your house. And I would be that person that would walk in and go, no, we need to organize you. Because this is not where, you know, there's so many perks to being organized. And it could just be, you know, if there's a mess around you, there's a mess around you in your head. You just can't think. So you need to, you know, maybe out in your garage, there's a basket, grab that basket, throw those toys in the den, throw them in there. And so now the floor's picked up, you know, try to set a schedule of this is the hour that I'm able to throw in one load of laundry and do that. You know, get off your phone, just get off the phone. That's a huge thing, especially now. I didn't have that problem. I've had it now, you know, but I've taken those, the social media part. There's nothing on my phone. I only have Instagram, but I've taken it off my phone because you can just go down this black hole. Right. And you need to focus on your baby. You need that baby to see that when you walk in, you're looking at them and you are trying to help them. You want to, you know, just you want to be there for them. And when you're on your phone, you can't. You're very distracted. And I know, you know, God doesn't want us distracted in His time with us, you know, and we can easily, you know, get distracted there. And I'm horrible at it. I, you know, will be praying for, I don't know, you know, for my health. And then I'll think to myself, I wonder what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. You know, just that would be healthy. You know, I mean, it's easy. It's easy to get distracted. So you really have to focus. You have to maybe that's I'm real big with journaling, and maybe that's just writing down, okay, Lord, I'm very, very distracted with dinner tonight. I'm distracted with my kids' volleyball game. So write it down. Tell him you're distracted with those things, and you're still praying. You're still having a moment with the Lord. So I mean, it would be tacky to say, come on, let's go to your house, but you have to know me.
I know.
come on, baby, let's go.
I could just so see you doing that. Oh, well, Sandy, this was an absolute delight, just chatting with you and hearing your heart and your heart for other moms and families who are walking this road that you have already walked. You are ahead of where many are. They're right in the thick of it, and you've experienced it. You've navigated through trial and error and made, I'm sure, a lot of mistakes and figured out what works. And So your book is going to be a phenomenal resource. And I would urge everyone who listens to this, whether it's for your own home or for a family member or somebody that you know that is going through this journey with special needs children and or a child, get a copy of this book. We'll put all of the information in the show notes so you can grab a copy or multiple copies for that matter. And also, Sandy, is there a way that they can reach out to you and connect with you if they feel so compelled?
Well, not only do I have the English version, but Redemption Press was lovely enough to help me with the Spanish version. And yeah. They can email me directly if they like, and I will give them a copy, or they can go to my website, and it's www.sandranieto.com.
I will put your website as well in the show notes. And so, yeah, just thank you so much for your time and sharing with us.
All right. Thank God you bless so you. Much. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us at this table. We're always grateful to have you listening in, and we hope today's conversation brought you some fresh encouragement, whether you're caring for a child with special needs or supporting someone who is. This journey isn't easy, but you don't have to walk it alone. God is faithful to provide exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Be sure to check out the show notes to learn more about Sandra's story and her book, Special Kids, Chosen Moms. And if this episode encouraged you, we'd love for you to share it with a friend who might need to hear it too. Until next time, remember, you always have a seat at this table.